You're listening to Armchair Hall of Famer, Pat Doherty and the Homestretch on Elkhart and Goshen Sports Station, ESPN Radio 102.7.
Welcome back here to the Homestretch, ESPN Radio 102.7. I'm Pat Doherty, alongside me, Todd Burlidge. Thankful to be here on a Tuesday. You know what I like about Tuesday more than anything, Todd? It's this new movie Tuesday. I'm super excited about going home watching a new movie. I'm a movie guy.
Anything picked out?
No, I honestly don't even know what's on. I have Comcast. I watch the on-demand, and Tuesdays are the new movie days. So I'm excited to see what's... I don't even know. I didn't check it this morning.
Jeez, must have been a busy guy.
Oh, I'm trying to get paid. All right, let's move forward in the show. Well, we're having fun here on a Tuesday. All right, time to talk Indianapolis Colts. A big win this weekend as they really stifled the return of Adrian Peterson. A lot of people I know jumped on the fantasy wire and picked up AP for the first round of the playoffs. Unfortunately, the Colts made him pay for that one. Indianapolis gets the win. And here to talk about Indianapolis and the big victory, our good friend Kevin Bowen from Colts.com joins us. Hey, Kevin, when you look at this, after last week, you would have thought the Colts maybe not have a chance to make the playoffs or stay in the hunt for the division. A win puts them a game back. This is a big win for Indianapolis over the Minnesota, especially when you think about it on the road.
Yeah, no, I think it was a win that not a lot of people saw coming after the performance against Houston to go up to Minnesota, put up 34 points against the NFL's top scoring defense, and you know, do it with a pretty banged up offense. The Colts were down three of their top six offensive linemen. No Dante Moncrief, their second leading receiver, probably their second best receiver. And they went up there and really executed at a very high level on the offensive side of the ball. The defense made the plays that have just kind of been missing all season long. They had the sacks, five sacks of Sam Bradford. Like you said, shut down a Vikings running game that really struggled all season, even with Adrian Peterson back in the lineup. And they forced three turnovers as well. So I think when you consider the personnel losses the Colts were dealing with, the road environment against the Vikings team still in the playoffs, probably the best game the Colts have played all season. Unfortunately, from a playoff hope standpoint for the Colts, they just didn't get any help. Mm-hmm. So the playoff odds actually went down a little bit, and now they're going to need all sorts of help the final 2 weeks of the season if they want to get in the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the final game of the season will put Houston and Tennessee against each other. That game will be at Tennessee. Houston's got some problems themselves as well. Osweiler was benched to a cheerful crowd, a standing ovation from Houston fans as he was benched after throwing some two quick early interceptions. So I feel like there's some drama in Houston that really could lead to them to struggle here down the stretch. But you're right. The Colts don't have an easy road, and they got to find a way to win against, in my opinion, two very solid opponents the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is the Colts just need too much help. And I'll try to make this as simple as I can, but basically three things have to happen for the Colts to get in the playoffs involving the Colts, Texans, and Titans. For the Colts, they got to win out. And that's a trip to Oakland this week on a short week, play on Saturday on Christmas Eve, and then beat the Jaguars at home in Week 17. So the Colts got to win out. The Texans have to lose out. The Texans play Cincinnati, who's been eliminated from the playoffs, at home this week. And then they go to Tennessee in Week 17 for the Colts and the Texans to lose out. And then lastly, the Colts need the Titans to lose in Jacksonville this week and then beat the Texans next week. So that is why things are so complicated and why the odds are so slim for the Colts to make the playoffs. They've got to win out. They need Houston to lose out. And they need a Jacksonville team that just fired their coach to beat the Titans at home. So, again, things turned in a hurry for the Colts Sunday during the fourth quarter. For fans that might have been following along during that game, you know, Colts were dominating. Andrew Luck was on the bench. He could rest early on Sunday. They had a big lead over the Vikings. And Jacksonville was beating Houston by a couple scores. Tennessee was losing to Kansas City by a couple scores. And then all of a sudden, Tennessee comes back, wins on that final gun field goal by Ryan Succop. Like you said, the Texans bench Brock Osweiler, bring in Tom Savage. They come back and beat the Jaguars, and here the Colts are now, 2 weeks remaining, needing even more help than they needed just a week ago. So
once again,
that's where you're at right now.
Yeah, once again, we're joined by Kevin Bowen from Colts.com. Kevin, last question I have for you. What was the difference against Minnesota that led to so much success in the running game? 101 yards by Frank Gore. I know he didn't punch it in the end zone. Turbin had a couple of nice short runs for touchdowns. But what was the difference that you saw on the offensive line that led to so much success in the running game?
Yeah, I would say where it started was just a different personnel grouping up front. Like I mentioned earlier, three of your top six offensive linemen didn't play in that game. LaRaven Clark, their third-round pick out of Texas Tech, actually got his first career start at right tackle. And I thought the Colts really controlled the line of scrimmage. And if there's one weakness that Minnesota does have defensively, it's that the run game and the run defense has struggled a little bit. They're kind of middle of the pack in run defense. And I thought the Colts were just able to execute really well with a pretty quick rhythm passing game. And then the run game was just very solid, weren't a lot of big chunks, just a lot of quality runs to stay ahead of the chains, something that the Colts had to do. So I thought with three rookies up front, center Ryan Kelly, right guard Joe Haig, LaRaven Clark at right tackle, they were able to control the line of scrimmage. And like you said, Frank Gore, second 100-yard rushing game of the year, and then Turbin finished it off with a couple nice run. So it was the most balanced we've seen the offense all season long. And to do it in Minnesota against that defense is definitely a big surprise.
Once again, our Colts insider from Colts.com, Kevin Bowen. Kevin, always a pleasure, my man. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see if the Colts can make one more stride. As you mentioned, only a couple of opportunities left.
Definitely. You guys have a great Christmas, and I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. You too, brother.